praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand here on this beautiful Friday night. Come on, Great Lakes region. Let's give the Lord praise in the house here this night. Let's acknowledge the Lord here this night. And as we prepare our hearts, we're taking no more time. I'm going to have a close friend of mine, Pastor Augie, that's the UPI overseer internationally. Amen. A friend of mine, a close friend of my pastor, Pastor Herb. Amen. So it brings me great honor. He's been around for 46 years in the ministry of Victory Outreach. Help me welcome Pastor Augie Barajas from B.O. Eagle Rock.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Come on, give God a good hand of praise for the things that God is going to do in your life and through your life. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. How many of you know that God's going to do something special in your life? Can you feel it? I really like the song, Being Desperate has an attitude, amen, it has a sound, amen, praise God. So just get desperate in hearing the voice behind the voice tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Just them. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We ask that the power of your Holy Spirit just move in a special way. I ask, Lord God, that you give me utterance. Give me your mind, your thoughts, inside and foresight of the things that we're going to say. And I ask that you strengthen my voice. God, I pray that you strengthen minds and hearts. Let them embrace your word, Father. And I pray you accelerate the blessings. Accelerate the growth in every church, Lord God. Accelerate the signs and wonders, Lord. Accelerate, Lord God, Father, salvation or loss. In your precious and beautiful name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Tell, give somebody a high five. Tell them you're in the right place at the right time with the right people. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hey, that's my homeboy right there. Tiny, stand up, my brother. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's my witness that I was a gangster for 3 months. Amen. We're from the same neighborhood, actually. I got jumped into his neighborhood. And I thank God that God... if I would have stayed, I would have died, I think. Praise the Lord. I would thank God that God, there's about 5 of us from the neighborhood that are saved. Amen. And we love in Jesus. And one day we're going to come back to the neighborhood. Amen. And tell our friends about Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for Pastor Nick and Myra. Very close friends of mine. You know, that we're OG, I think we're like before the first wave. Amen. Right before the flood, amen, we came in. Amen, we're friends. You know, we gone through a lot of things together. We have old stories. You know, we just want to thank God for you guys. Pastor Nick, thank you so much. You've been a true friend throughout the years in the St. Myra. And then Pastor Charlie and Marlene, thank you so much for your hospitality. And thank you for accepting the responsibility of UPI here in the Midwest. Amen. Praise God. Under the guidance of our friend, Pastor Herb. Praise the Lord. He's a, who can we use over there? Charlie. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who's Charlie? You know? And then, you know, introduce me. I go, oh, man, he's a good man. I know. I know that God is going to move in a special way. And I want to thank you, you know, for you, everybody's hospitality. The worship was awesome. The worship was awesome. That little boy, I want to borrow the little boy. I want to take him over there for about a month or two, amen. So I just love what God is doing, you know, here in the Great Lakes, you know, and region. And I normally don't leave on United Prayer International nights. I usually stay home, and then from there, you know, we call each other. We call people from Europe and call people from different places, and we pray together. So right now, the whole world is praying. Everybody's praying, so most churches will be praying all night, You know, and but we don't want to keep you all night. We know you have to come back tomorrow. Amen. And so if you can just give me, you know, a good 30, 40 minutes. Can you hang on with that? Praise God. Amen. And I feel that what I have to share is something very important. I think that it's going to be able to revolutionize your life the way it has revolutionized my life completely. Amen. Greetings from Pastor Sunny and Sister Julie. I often see them at the upper room, you know, at the corporate office. How many of you have seen the upper room? Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have not, it's just a program that we have internationally that, you know, we teach people the benefits and the power of prayer and fasting. So if you haven't seen it, just look at YouTube, Victory Outreach International, and then the upper room. You know, you can watch all the programs that you can. Amen. They're all about prayer. Amen. Well, I just bring greetings from my wife. And the reason, yeah, amen, praise God. This year will be 45 years married to that same person. And it'll be 50 years together. You know, so we've been together for 50 years and 45 married. So we just thank God. Forgive me for my voice. I had COVID 2 months ago, and this is the afterglow of the COVID. So but I got a lot of people praying for me, and I know that God's going to see me through. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and open up your Bibles. And we're going to be reading the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. The title of our message is, and I'm telling you, it's going to blow your mind. You know, the power and benefits of speaking in tongues. The power and benefits, it's transformed my life. And I spoke in tongues all my life. Been Pentecostal since I got saved. You know, for 46 years I've been in Victory Outreach, but I have never have understood the full power and the full benefits of speaking in tongues. And today you're going to see physical benefits of speaking in tongues and also spiritual benefits of speaking in tongues. Amen. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 14, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Most of you guys have already seen the scripture and heard the scripture Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. The Bible says that we're in one mind, in one accord, sitting together, praying. And the Bible says that suddenly it came from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, you know, and it filled the whole house. The Holy Spirit came in. It filled the whole house that they were sitting. And the Bible says that each one of them had clovers like of tongues, you know, of fire. And each one of them began to speak in tongues. Not tongue, but tongues. Say tongues. It's a plural. Tongues is a plural thing, you know. And the Bible says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. All of that has been a fulfillment, you know, of many scriptures in the Old Testament. So I'm going to, you know, try to do the best that I can. And if we don't finish today, then we'll finish tomorrow, because we got two more times, you know, to be here with you tomorrow. Amen. But try to stay alert as much as possible. In November, these are the benefits of speaking in tongues in a physical manner. In November 7th, 2006, the New York Times had an article validating speaking in tongues. New York Times. New York Times is not religious, you know, as you know. But they're pretty credible in many of the things that they publish. The New York Times followed a research done in the United Kingdom on 1,000 evangelicals that... And the conclusion of this research was that those who spoke in tongues consistently on a regular basis had fewer mental disorders than the ones that didn't speak in tongues. Do you know anybody that trips once in a while? Yeah, tell them speak in tongues. Husbands, your wife trips a little bit, speak in tongues. Husbands, if wives, if your husband is tripping, and his brother is speaking tongues, amen. But that is a study on 1,000 people. You know, and it was done in England, and it's credible. So here, New York Times validates speaking in tongues. Amen. So it is important for us to understand that speaking in tongues is one of the most powerful weapons that we have on earth. Amen. How many of you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? If you have not, can you not please see your hand? If you have not, well, most of you have. How many of you have? Praise the Lord. Hey, wow, look at this. That's beautiful. Well, like you're like me, you're going to learn something new in regards. If you speak in tongues, you're going to see that something new, you're going to learn something new about speaking in tongues. Amen. And I believe that God's going to use your tongues to do the supernatural in people's lives and also in your life. Amen. So by this article that we just read, you know, that New York Times affirms that speaking in tongues is valid. The power of speaking in tongues. There's another study, a new neuroscientific look at speaking in tongues. The University of Pennsylvania has a department of neuroscience led by Andrew Newberg. They concluded the study that the activity of the brain when someone is speaking in tongues, and that was the whole study. What happens to the brain when somebody speaks in tongues? Well, they found out that the amazing truth, as they look at the difference of the activity of the brain when people prayed in English and when they pray in tongues. The study showed that the front part of the brain that controls the speech, when people prayed in English, this front part of the brain was fiery. You know, it's a lot of activity, a lot of fire. Very active, full of activity. But when the individual transitioned into speaking in tongues, all the activity of the brain stopped. It would go dormant. No activity at all, you know, whatsoever. So when you speak in English or Spanish or whatever, there's a lot of activity in the brain. But when you speak in tongues, that brain goes dormant. There's no activity. Which, we know, when we speak in tongues, this is, you know, this proves what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, not my brain, my spirit prays, for my understanding is unfruitful. So that proves that when you speak in tongues, your brain, you don't need your brain to speak in tongues, because what you need is your spirit. You're praying with your spirit. You're not praying with your brain, you're praying with your spirit. Now your spirit is communicating directly with the Spirit of God. Give God a good hand of praise, amen. When we speak in tongues, praying in tongues will bypass the mind and will pass the logic. So when you speak in tongues, it bypasses. It doesn't filter through your mind, and it doesn't filter through your logic. It bypasses the mind, and it bypasses the logic, and it goes straight to God. As your spirit speaking to the Spirit of God. Amen. Your mind is no longer praying, but your spirit is connecting directly to God. There's three observations in the Bible in regards to language, okay? And you're going to like this. God, Adam, and Eve, all of them, you know, were speaking, you know, the Bible says, and they heard, this is Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 12, And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" What I want to propose to you, a question. What language was God using when he was talking to them? What language the Adam and Eve were using when they were speaking? Because at this time, they're not even on earth. You know, they're not on earth. So could, you know, we know they weren't speaking Spanish. We know they weren't speaking Arabic or Hebrew or Greek. What language do you think they were speaking? Well, I just want you to think that maybe perhaps it was the heavenly language. Think about it. Okay? Now let's go on. The Bible says language in the Greek is dialectos, meaning dialect. The question is, again, what language they were using, what dialectos they were using to communicate. You know, it's important to, you know, to think about that. The Tower of Babel and Abraham, this is right before Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12. So from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis 11, there was only one language. There were not a lot of languages, only one language. In Genesis 11, verse 1 through 7, I'm gonna read this. It's a little lengthy, so bear with me. Now the whole earth had one language. Somebody say one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower whose top will be in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the Son of Man had built. And the Lord said, somebody said, the Lord said, watch what he said. "Indeed, the people are one. Indeed, the people are one. Indeed, the people are one." What was happening in Acts chapter 2? They were in one mind and one accord. The people are one. What is happening here in the Great Lakes? We're the people in one mind and one accord. What happens when we are in one mind and one accord? Look at this. You know, the Bible says, now nothing. It says they were in one mind and one accord. It says, and they have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they proposed to do would be withheld from them. Nothing would be impossible. Why? Because they were in one mind and one accord. When you're in one mind and one accord, things are possible. Nothing be impossible. This is what God is saying. I'm quoting God. In verse 7, come, God says, let us go down and let's confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Let us confuse their language. Let us separate. Let's bring division among them, because they're in one mind and one accord, speaking one language. Nothing will be beheld from them. Nothing is going to be impossible for them. So let us confuse the language. Let's go ahead and mess it up. Amen. So the observation number 3, restoration of the language. Zephaniah, you're going to like this. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. To my own understanding, this is a prophetic statement on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Look what the Bible says. For then I will restore to the people a pure language. I will restore to the people a pure language that they all may call on the name of the Lord and serve him in one accord. The word restoration means bringing back something that has been lost. So God says, I'm going to restore the language. The heavenly language that they had before, everybody understood each other. The one language, it says, I'm going to restore that. I'm going to give it back to them. And if they in one mind and one accord, nothing is going to be impossible for them. Nothing. Whatever they propose to do, nothing will be impossible for them. So the word meaning restoration, bring back something that had been lost. The biblical meaning of the word restoration is to receive back more than had been lost, to the point that the final state of is greater than the original condition. The main point is that someone or something is improved beyond measure. So God says, I'm going to restore your language. I'm going to restore the unit. I'm going to restore the language so you can do my work. And as long as you're in one mind and one accord, nothing will be impossible. You can plant churches. You can claim the buildings. You can claim salvations. You can claim healings. The Bible says nothing will be impossible if you are just in one mind and one accord. What did Jesus say? God, Father, let them be one like you and I one. It's the devil's job to divide us. But when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit and we're speaking one language, one mind and one accord, nothing will be impossible. Amen. Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1. And they were all with one accord, in one mind, in one accord, one place. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, verse 2, they came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and they filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Somebody say tongues. It's not just tongue, okay? I'm making a point out of that because it's tongues. There's different purposes for tongues. In Acts chapter 1:8, the Bible says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the other parts of the world. So God gives you power by, you know, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive power, and all of a sudden you're going to be able to go to the different places around the world, and you're going to be a witness to me, and nothing shall be impossible. I remember the times where there was only one church here. I would come and visit Pastor Nick. There was only one church, and now there's all kind of like seven churches, plus churches. Why? Because everybody became one mind and one accord in this church. And from there, everybody began to go out. God gave them power to believe and to trust, and that God was able to change lives. And the very lives that he was able to change, those are the very lives that went out and established all the churches. But everybody was in one mind and one accord. When the above takes place, nothing is impossible and nothing is withheld. When everybody is in one mind and one accord, praying in one mind and one accord. The declaration of Paul in the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, he says, I thank my God, this is Paul now, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. This is Paul. So for those of you that feel like, man, you know, is tongues really for real? Paul never would have said that. He would have never said that if tongues are not real. Why did the greatest apostle value speaking in tongues so much? The answer is because the power and the benefit of speaking in tongues, the experience of speaking in tongues as he prayed, you know, are priceless. Okay? If speaking in tongues was not real, Paul would have never told the people that he spoke in tongues more than everybody else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, he says, I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. So he's encouraging tongues. Question, why did Paul place such a great importance in speaking in tongues? The answer, because For many people, speaking in tongues was a matter of life and death. You know, there was much persecution, and many have lost already their lives. So having people being killed left and right, it was a customary thing. Nero was, you know, was doing his thing here, you know, was killing a lot of people. So spiritual warfare was intense, and they needed a secret weapon. Somebody say secret weapon. Unknown to the enemy. They needed something secret, unknown to the enemy. Satan knows and understands every language. He knows, you know, English and Spanish. He knows everything, but he does not understand tongues. See, so God had to give us a secret weapon so he will not sabotage, you know, that the plans of God. Our heavenly language gives us an advantage over the enemy. He does not understand tongues. No matter what devil, no matter what his name, no matter how big, how small, no matter how clever, if you speak in tongues, you have supremacy over the enemy. If you speak in tongues, you have advantage over the enemy. The International Morse Code. Also, you know, also known as the Continental Morse Code. How many of you know that Morse Code? You know, when back in the ship days, the people, they had this little Morse Code, you know, that it basically goes like that. Right? And so the enemy doesn't know what we're saying, but our allies know. Okay, there's a submarine, you know, you need to make it right. You know, go away from this thing here. You know, anyways, this Morse code was used in wartime in order to confuse the enemy regarding the strategies and plans of the enemy. Morse code is named after Samuel Morse, one of the inventors of the telegraph. Our heavenly language serves much as the Morse code. I love this. Our heavenly language is like a Morse code. Amen. You go like, and God knows exactly what we're saying. And God goes like that. And you know exactly. Our spirit knows exactly what we're saying. It confuses the enemy regarding God's plans and the strategies of the enemy. Well, God, what is the worth of praying in tongues? Our heavenly language is so valuable in terms of spiritual warfare that the enemy tries to discredit tongues one way or another. Tongue is one of the greatest controversial and misunderstood doctrines in the Bible. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is constant under attack because the damage that it causes the enemy. For example, we have a pastor named Todd Smith, was a pastor of the Southern Baptist Church in the state of Georgia. His church was one of the fastest growing churches in the United States of America. He constantly mocked the experience of speaking in tongues, just like John MacArthur does. You know, and he often said that speaking in tongues is of the devil. What happened? Well, as a professor, he's only not only a pastor, but he's a professor. You know, he studied the argument by both sides, Pentecostal and non-Pentecostal, by scholars. In order to be true to the scriptures, he had to take off his Southern Baptist lens. The way he was taught in his tradition. Because his tradition was that that's from the devil. You know, there's no more healings. There's no more miracles in our time. That was the lens that he was accustomed. He had to take out the lens, and to be true to himself and to be true to the word of God, he had to learn from scholars without the lens and give the scriptures a fair chance. Then he was able to see that the facts and the truth of the word of God, both sides, they had strong points and opinions. But one side was experiencing miracles, signs, and wonders. And Todd became very hungry, you know, for the miraculous. He was invited to a Pentecostal prayer service, You know, they pray for him, nothing happened. Then he says, why is it everybody got baptized and not me? You know, so the pastor, Pentecostal pastor, he says, the reason why you haven't been baptized, because you've been mocking the Holy Spirit. You've been mocking, and you need to repent. You know, you repent from, you know, attributing tongues to the devil. You repent and you see how God is going to baptize in the Holy Ghost. So he repented, and immediately he got baptized by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was baptized by the Holy Spirit. So the pastor of the church, the Pentecostal church, told him, you know, listen, as you go back, you're one of the fastest growing pastors and churches in America. Don't tell your congregation what happened to you here. 1 month went by. He didn't say nothing, but 1 month he went by. He began to teach on the baptism because it was so powerful, you know, moving in his life. So I got to teach this. So the deacons got together and they kicked him out of his church. And so what happened is that he became a proponent of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that he writes books on the baptism, the validity of speaking in tongues. Someone that said that tongues was of the devil now has come into the place where he realizes tongues is of God. Amen. Question, what lens do you have in regards to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we have a Catholic lens, and we don't do that. I used to have that. Some people, you have a common sense lens. It doesn't make sense. Ma, 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 papa. It doesn't make sense. So sometimes you look at this doctrine with the lens of common sense. Sometimes it's logic. Is it logical to say, da, 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 da? You know, and really think that really gonna do some miracles? The logic. Sometimes we have the critical lens. And we criticize. Maybe we don't say in the outside, but we in the inside, we begin to criticize the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have the analytical. You know, with the analytical mind, it doesn't make sense. Listen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has not to do with analytics. It's faith. You speak in tongues by faith. Sometimes we have a traditional lens. But you look, we never done that before. You know, I, what do you mean? You know, speaking in tongues, and you, maybe your tradition, you say, no. Or maybe sometimes you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you feel like, is there anything new? Because you're so used to your own tradition, you know, that you feel that, you know, speaking in tongues is like, is old now. You know, it doesn't happen. So you do it because we all do it. But you don't do it because it's fresh. You don't do it because you believe. You don't do it because you know that God is going to do supernatural things in your life and through your life. So I'm appealing to those of you that you speak in tongues, but you feel like, oh, mama, you know, you come in and, you know, and tradition. But man, this is power, my brother. You know, when you speak in tongues, that's power. You do something supernatural. There's things that supernatural happen. When you speak in tongues, the Bible says mysteries take place. Amen. So you got to look at your traditional or maybe even religious, you know, lens. Amen. Now let us look from the scriptures the power and benefits of speaking in tongues. Let me give you 6 benefits real fast, and then we're going to try to, you know, bring this to a close. 6 benefits. There's many benefits. There's like 30, 40 benefits of speaking in tongues. Let me give you some. Just some, you know, just so for the point of continuity. When we speak in tongues, we are speaking directly to God. This answers the question, who am I speaking to when I speak in tongues? Because sometimes our mind says, what? Are you serious? You're not speaking to God? Because it's so common. You know, it's so simple, but yet it's so powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, the Bible says, for we, when we speak in tongues, we do not speak unto men, but unto God. You speak directly to God, for no one can understand him. You speak the red. Can you imagine when you begin to say Kora Morosundo Gokoro? You are speaking not to Obama. You're not speaking to Biden. You're not speaking to anybody. You're speaking directly to God, my brother. You're not speaking to the Queen of England. You're speaking directly to God, to the God of the universe, the God that can turn everything around in your life. The God that saved you, that sanctified you, and the one that can dictate your future. The one that can change everything around. You're speaking to him. So we shouldn't just, you know, walk around like. Do you know who you're speaking to? You know who you're speaking to? Do you know? Should be like fear and trembling. Oh, God, I'm speaking to God. With tears, oh, my God, I'm speaking directly to God. My spirit is communicating with the God of the universe, the God of the cosmos, the God of the galaxies, the God of the impossible, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the bread when we're hungry and the water when we're thirsty, the medicine when we are sick. You are talking to the most powerful God in the world. So you should not just, you know, just treat it as, you know, just, this is what we do in the home. Or this is what we do in the church. No, my friend. You need to understand the power, the benefit when you speak in tongues. That's the reason why I'm going to read it one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Paul says, for we know, he says, we know, he who speaks in tongues does not speak unto men, but unto God. Let's just say Buddha, Confucius, Hare Krishna. It says even speaking to God, Yahweh. Wow. You know, the God of the universe. When we speak in tongues, we strengthen ourselves. That's the second thing that happens to you. When you ever feel weak, you feel depressed, you ever feel like oppressed, you feel like, man, this COVID, this isolation. You know, there's things, you know, you feel like that sometimes. When you speak in tongues, you strengthen yourself. It's like going to the gym. Man, you feel energetic. Man, you feel like, man, like, oh, you can take the world. You know, the Bible says when we speak in tongues, we are given the ability to strengthen ourselves, to strengthen the inner man. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Jude 1:20, the Bible says, but you, beloved, build yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit is the same as praying in the Holy Ghost. When you build yourself, that's the reason why some people, they don't backslide. Why? Because they always strengthen themselves. You know, they serve God, and they say, you know, death before dishonor. I'd rather die before I backslide. Oh, this is the kind of strength upon God. You wonder why the Bible says he got shipwrecked, he got stoned, he got whipped. He suffered more than all the other apostles. But why was he... He says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know what he was saying? I want to know him intimately. I want to know the power of his resurrection, but I also, it'll be a privilege if I can just suffer like him. The fellowship of his suffering. I want to be intimate with the sufferings of Jesus. It'd be a privilege if I get whipped. It'd be a privilege if I get crucified. It'd be a privilege if wherever I go, it'd be a privilege. But why was he able to say that? Because he had the power of the Holy Spirit inside of his life. He had built himself. Every time he will walk, wherever he went, you know, he's speaking in tongues. In prison, he was speaking in tongues. No matter what happened to him, he was speaking in tongues. That's why he was able to go through all that. Speaking in tongues, it gives you that strength. If you ever feel weak, that you can't go forward, speak in tongues, my brother. And maybe you are anemic spiritually is because you need to speak in tongues on purpose. Amen. When we speak in tongues, we build capacity for God. Praying in the Spirit widens our capacity for life of God and strengthens our connection with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, there it is, with might through his Spirit in the inner man, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and to make, and that you may feel with all the fullness of God. Number four, when we speak in tongues, we experience personal transformation. Personal transformation. The Holy Spirit has come to not only empower the believer, but to make them more like Jesus. The stronghold of sin will be weakened. If you have a certain power, the devil, sometimes, you know, we have habits. Habits you can let go. But a stronghold is something that has you. Like pornography, like drugs, alcohol, infidelity. Fears, phobias, something that, those are strongholds. But the Bible says when you speak in tongues, you know, your sins can let you go. Amen? A stronghold of the devil will be weakened so that you can actually live. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Speaking in tongues, you know, allows you to look more like Jesus. Speaking in tongues is tied to the Great Commission. By the way, you know that one of the gifts, you know, we have nine gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have nine gifts. Out of all those gifts, only one made it to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have the faith, interpretation of tongues, you have discernment of spirits. But tongues is the only one that made it to Acts chapter 2. It was the only gift that was necessary, and it was urgent for the people to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 18. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes in me is baptized, he will be saved. But he who believes would not believe will be condemned. And those signs will follow those who believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. They will speak in new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. Those people say tongues is not from God. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. 2 days ago, I went to get the COVID, the booster, and so I, you know, just Pastor Sonny got it, so I got it. You know, like, you go down, I go down. You jump, I jump. You know, you died, I die with you. You know, you God will be my God, that kind of thing. So I'm in there sitting around, you know, and I'm thinking like, oh man, you know these people. You know, there's theories, you know, you get the thing, you know, that you get, you know, in there, you know, there's metal in there that, you know, that later on that it turns into 666 and all that stuff, you know. If you believe that, we're going to slap you right here. We're going to have a slap line, you know, we're going to slap you right here. So we're sitting in there, and my wife says, I said, Mary, so, you know, you would have to answer all these questions. And I said, you're going to do it with me, right? You already got the other two. He says, well, you know, oh, but it says if you get this thing here, that you're going to get, you can get sick, and get, you can faint, you know, you can, all these crazy things, you know, that you get, you know, all kinds of, like, tremendous, like, it's bad, you know, if you get it. These are the side effects, it says. But I said, Mary, doesn't the Bible say there's those that believe in my name, they should cast out devils. If they eat anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. So we need to confess this thing here in the name of Jesus. So I say that to those of you that are, you know, that are here, you say, I don't want to get it because I may get sick. Hey, I don't want to be controversial here, you know, but if you think it's a 666, it's not a 666, amen. It's not. I mean, I have kids, my own kids, they haven't got it, and I don't make them, you know, but stop it. It's not the 666, amen. All right, let's move on. I don't know why I'm saying that stuff. When we speak in tongues, we are speaking mysteries. Listen to this. When we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. You begin to speak mysteries. I want to say this, something important that you need to understand. When you speak in tongues, it's like the Holy Spirit is the power, right? You have a strap, you know, a strap here. Actually, you know, this is the power that comes from the poles and all that stuff. Okay, that's actually like the baptism of the Holy, symbolizing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But notice that this strip is powering that thing. I don't know what that is. It's powering this computer. It's powering, you know, the piano. It's powering the guitar. It's powering everything. It's one energy, but the energy is empowering different things. It's empowering different things. It's one energy, but the one energy is used for different purposes. It's the same thing when you speak in tongues. It may sound the same. It may sound the same. But when you speak in tongues, God designs in as a mystery where he's going to use those tongues. As a mystery, he's going to say, you speaking in tongues right now, somebody's about to be decapitated. I'm going to save him with your tongues. As you speak in tongues, there's an atheist about to lose his life. I don't want him. I want you to speak in tongues. I'm going to save him right now. When you speak in tongues, somebody's about to die, you know, and God saves them. Somebody's about to have a cancer or leukemia in their lives and have a death sentence in their lives, and God saves them because you speak in tongues. It's one tongue, but different purposes. It's not just one tongue. It's tongues. Tongues meaning different purposes. So whatever the, sometimes you just need strengthen. God used to, I'm going to strengthen you today. You keep on speaking in tongues. I'm going to use this portion of your tongues to save your mama. You know, I'm going to use this portion to bless you with a miracle. I'm going to use this portion of tongues to give you intelligence, to give you signs and wonders. I'm going to use this portion of your tongues, amen, to save your son and your daughter. I'm going to use this portion to give you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use this. One power, different purposes. So when you're walking around speaking in tongues, understand that in the spirit you're speaking mysteries. You're not just bubbling something that in the air, and angels are, you know, grabbing it and say, hey, you know, this, Jesus, this for you. Is that your name? No. It goes directly to God. God, listen, tongues is a weapon. It's a Morse code. It's a secret weapon that Satan cannot sabotage the plans of God. He cannot sabotage the strategies of God. The Bible says for the word, what is that? Second or First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mind of God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. But the word says, for the weapons of our warfare, the word warfare, it means in the Greek is straton. And the straton is when we get the word strategy. For the weapons of our strategy are not carnal, but the mind, kora kashando go koro morosita. Those are weapons that we have. They're not just babbling. You know, you're not just spitting at somebody. No, you're not just saying nonsense. Like the logic would tell you that's nonsense. Agnostics, you know, that's not, you're crazy. You're just making that up. It's not. When you baptize in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you one word or two words. That's your new language. Don't care what it sounds like. That's your new language. You just keep repeating the one thing over and over, and before you know it, it turns into agokoro morosita, kokoro morosita, eko morokosota kakara pakasato kokoro morosita rakasanto. And God says, yes, I need those, I need that language, I need that prayer for this one, and then that one, and then that one, and then this one, and then this one, then for you too. I'm gonna strengthen you. Are you catching something here today? You see why the devil fights tongues so much? Why he discredits tongues so much? That tongue says, you know, that Pentecostal people, you know, they're crazy. You know, and he uses extreme Pentecostalism to discredit the real validity of tongues. I hate to stand in the shoes of John MacArthur and those people that say tongues of the devil. Because Jesus says, if you sin against me, I will forgive the sin. If you sin against my Father, I will also forgive the sin. But if you sin against the Holy Spirit, that sin will not be forgiven in this life, nor in the life to come. Be careful what we say about the Holy Spirit and also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Should I keep going, Pastor? Or yeah? Okay, the mystery, our invitation, this mystery, as, you know, our invitations into a greater depth of God's heart and a greater realm of revelation, we begin to get access to the mysteries of God by praying in the Spirit. I give you, do you have a picture, the picture of the young man? The one I told you. This guy here, you're probably going to see him in the future. I introduced him to Pastor Charlie. His name is Nico the Dragon. He's my spiritual son. Went through a men's home, did the whole thing. But before he went through a men's home, he did like 25 movies. He was one of the original pioneers of MMA fighting. You know, the cages is one of the very, very first ones that ever fought in those cages. He's a pioneer, you know, one of the pioneers of MMA. He's fought in Russia. He's fought in Brazil. He's fought all over the place. You know, he became very talented, made 25 movies. You know, we got clippings, you know, by him, and, you know, newspapers. He's an author of a book, you know. So when he came to me, Bob Ledwick, you know, is the one that brought him. You know, the guy with the sound. I used to do our sound for Victory Outreach. He's the one that brought him to me. And he says, this guy needs your Victory Outreach. So when he came to me, and I said, tell me a little about yourself. So he began to all those movies, and he was a bodyguard for the mafia, you know, and all the kind of things. And he says, and so I said, okay, you know, I want you to just, okay, you know, do something. You know, I put him, you know, to do a little something. You know, he does spoken word and all that. And anyways, a couple of months later, he had an episode, you know. And so he says, his girlfriend, he says, I am not going to stay with him if he keeps doing that. You know, because he was hitting himself like hard. He says, I'm not used to this kind of stuff. You know, next time he's gonna punch me. You know, so I said, do you want my help? He says, yes. Okay, you need to go to the men's home. And he didn't think I was gonna say that. You know, he's like a movie star and everything. You need to go to the men's home. And he like choked up for a little bit. But by this time he knew me a little bit. And he says, you want me to go to the men's home? You need to teach, to preach? I know, to be there, to get delivered. You need to be there to get delivered. Anyways, I say, I'm going to try to make this short. So, you know, he's one of those guys, you know, that you got somebody 18 years old, tell him, 3 minute shower, you got to get out of there, you know. So now he tells us, you know, that he used to punch the wall. You know, he says, don't you know that I can kill this guy, man, with one punch? You know, but anyways, what happened is that he was in the men's home, and because of all the fighting that he did, he had a varicose vein, and his leg grew like 2-3 times bigger in size. And then he pulled his pins out, up, and then I was able actually to see the devil in those veins. Had the horn, the eyes, the mouth, the whole entire thing. It's like, man, you got the devil right there, brother. And so, anyways, what happened is that he had to take care of that because he had some blood clot that was going to go to either his groin or his brain. He was going to die. He went, you know, to the hospital, Glendale Hospital. And then I was not going to go. But that day, the Lord told me, speak in tongues. I didn't know that he was going to go in the hospital. He was in the men's home. And so I just began to kora marashato kokoromuros. I didn't know why. Kora kashando kokoromuros. I just feel the urge of speaking in tongues. Kora kashato kokoromurosinda. Ora kasandro kokoromurosita kakaramasa. All of a sudden I hear like, oh man, they took Nico to the hospital. They may cut his leg off. So when they told me that, I rushed to that thing over there, you know, and they were gonna, you know, they already had the, you know, with a bed. They're going to wheel him in for the operation. And I said, doctor, you know, please stop. You know, let me say a prayer. And I kissed him in his forehead. I said, Nico, I mean, God is in control. I go, God is in control. And I just finished preaching some powerful messages on the area of faith. But anyways, what I'm making this is that they took him in there. He dies in the hospital. Cold blue. I mean, there was only one person, you know, and this is a huge hospital. And they said, cold blue, when it was him. He died. His girlfriend fainted. And I'm started freaking out and thinking like, God, are you serious? His parents are there. I said, why you had me speak in tongues? And the Lord spoke to me, son, I speak in tongues because I'm not planning to leave him dead. Say, you needed to be here, lay hands on him. See, and I want you right now to continue speaking tongues and say a prayer. Say a prayer for him. And as soon as we finish the prayer, boom, he came back to life. Amen. God brought him from dead to life. And the Lord spoke to me in that area. You know, when you speak in tongues, the devil cannot sabotage. If I were to pray in English, oh God, Nico, this, Nico, that, the devil could have sabotaged the whole thing and would have sidetracked me to do something that might have been more urgent or something else in order for me not to go there and pray for him. See, what I know now is that God was not just after his life. He didn't want to just save his life, but he wanted to save time. Since then, he has led thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Jesus. He's traveled all over the United States. You know, he goes into all the prisons. He goes to colleges. You know, he's next. He preaches in stadiums. He does all of that because of the platform of MMA that God gave him. Plus, he's an author. And the Lord now tells me the reason why I had to speak in tongues, because the devil could have sabotaged my plans. See, and so when you spoke in tongues, I was able to release and to guide you. I was able to guide you so that you can be there at the point where he was going to die. And the spirit of prayer brought him back to life. Amen. So Pastor Charlie just talked to him yesterday. So you may be able to see him. He's real humble. You know, he may come. You know, I'm having come preach, you know, next month in my church. He lives in Cleveland, Ohio. You know, and but you know, he preaches. He was in TBN, you know, and guess what? In TBN, I just want to thank my spiritual father, Pastor Augie, and my church, Victory Hour Eagle Rock, you know, for the things that they've done. He goes on national radio. He gives us props. He represents. He was in Treasures. He did a Treasure a program with Pastor Sonny Jr. and Senior, you know, on his life. So keep him in prayer. Amen. But what I'm trying to say is that when you speak in tongues, the devil cannot sabotage the plans of God. Let me give you, can you handle one more? And maybe tomorrow I'll give you the rest. Okay, tomorrow, not too long ago, maybe about 2-3 months ago, my spiritual son, Julio, I sent him out to start a church in Bakersfield. And so his pastor is going to be my, what is it, fourth year anniversary. And I need you to come and preach on Sunday morning. Yeah, he wanted me to come and see, you know, like, you know, in 2 years, I think. I was 2 years, he has 150 people. He bought his own church with a house. He bought 2 more houses. Like, he wanted, you know, like, you know, he wanted to make me proud. I said, Julio, he was the last one that I sent out. I said, Julio, I don't give my son to my brother. You know that. Pastor, but you need to come. I said, Julio, please, man. I'll come on Wednesday. I'll come on Friday, you know, but Sunday I need to be here because I travel a lot and I need to grow my church. Anyways, so I said, I'll send somebody else. And anyways, so what happened is like that Saturday, no, God convicted me on a Friday. You call Julio, you tell him you're going to go there on Sunday. But Lord, I got a lot of things going on Sunday. You tell him you're going to go over there on Sunday. I said, I'll call Julio, I'm going to be there on Sunday. And he said, so what happened? I said, okay, Mary, we're going to go over there. But let's try to be there by 12 o'clock. This way I can rest, you know, I can go over the message and be, you know, fellowship with him. So we can be there by 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So we had everything set. The Holy Spirit impressed me to begin to speak in tongues. I didn't know that. Amen. I'm driving and I'm speaking in tongues. I'm doing this and I'm speaking in tongues. But the Holy Spirit was prompting me to do that. I don't know why. You know, but God, the Holy Spirit. So now all of a sudden, instead of leaving at 12 o'clock, now it's 1 o'clock. We haven't left. There's 3 o'clock. We haven't left. It's 7 o'clock p.m. We haven't left. At 9 p.m., listen to this. At 9 p.m., we're finally on our way. God was staging my steps because something drastic was going to happen to somebody. And God wanted me to be there present. It was a major accident was going to take place. The Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die and after that the judgment. Well, God, somebody was going to die. And I needed to be present to lead him to the Lord. So anyways, so here 9 o'clock at night, they close the freeway. When they close the freeway, you have to go out and they have detours. Mary says, instead of going to the detour right now, take me to the restroom, you know. And even everything was orchestrated by God, mysteries. When you pray, you speak mysteries. Morse code. The devil does not understand. So anyways, what happened? We're going to the restroom and not realizing that within 3 minutes, there was going to be a drastic accident. So she got in the car. We started going. And the minute we got into the stoplight, this Ford 18-wheeler comes in flying and hit another truck. The truck went in the air. So in front of us, we're like right there, you know, like from there to there. And we're watching this truck flying in the air like that. And then it lands on the side. And Mary, I mean, I, you know, like Mary says, go, you know, they start catching on fire, the back of the truck. He says, go save the person. I got it. In my mind, I got to preach tomorrow, Mary. That thing blows up. Yeah, you know, I'm not, you're not kind of hero like that. I pray from here, you know, Lord, but, you know, I think it's catching on fire, man. You know, there's smoke everywhere. There's fire everywhere, you know. And so anyways, I don't know why I opened the door. She was driving. I opened the door, and I tried to get him out. We did get him out, that you know, and so we got him out, and we got him away, you know, from the fire in case it exploded. So, you know, now we're sitting right here. His name is Esteban, I think it was. I said, Esteban, I go, do you know Jesus? He says, no, you know, but my brother is a Christian. I'm a drug addict. My brother's been praying for me all my life. He says, and how ironic that at the point of my of this accident, you are here telling me about Jesus. Says my brother's been trying to get me to a home, you know, all my life. You know, so I said, okay, you want to receive Jesus? Yes. So he received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, so then I said, give me the brother's name. The brother's name is Victor. He's a Christian. So I call his brother, no answer. Called him like 12 times, no answer. So I waited for the police. The police came, the fire department came, the ambulance came, and I'm still sitting there for 1 hour. Now they're waiting, because of the location, now they're waiting for somebody from L.A. This was, you know, on the 18 freeway moving to the 5, or the 210 moving to the 5. Anyway, so what happened, I'm waiting there. I said, look, dude, I'm going to have to preach tomorrow in the morning. So I had to still go to Bakersfield. I'm going to leave you in care of these police officers. And I asked him, can you please take him home? Because his brother's not answering. He said, no, don't worry. You can go, and we'll go take him home. So I got on the freeway. Again, the brother calls me. And the brother, I say, hey, I call you. Your brother had a major accident. You know, and I'm just telling you right now that he received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know what he did for 5 minutes? Oh, rakasanda, rapapapa, kasanda, rapapa, kasanda. Oh, rakasanda, rala. And I got the phone. I want to talk to that guy. And he's speaking in tongues. So I don't know, like, how many minutes. And so he finally cools down. And I said, what happened? He says, the Holy Spirit told me to speak in tongues all day long. And I didn't know that it was for God to guide your steps so that you can be at the proper time in the right place so you can lead my brother to Jesus. Come on, somebody. So his brother's not dead. He just got a little cut right here. He's not dead, but he's not going to die, right? So I go preach, you know, powerful message. Preach a powerful message. I'm coming back, and his brother called me, and he says, hey, Victor called me. He says, I want you to know my brother's dead. I go, how is it he's dead? I mean, he was no broken bones or nothing. He says, he didn't die for that. He got this, because of that thing, got disoriented. He crossed the street, and a car hit him and killed him. This is what God told me, Pastor Nick. God told me, son, the reason why I had his brother pray in tongues so I can guide your steps. The reason I had you pray in tongues so you can be obedient to my plan. It was a mystery. If I would have told you pray for this in English, or you know, the devil would have known, and the devil would have sabotaged my plans. I didn't take you there so you can lead him to me. I took you there so you can lead him from hell to heaven. You saved somebody. Somebody was about to go to hell, and I ask you, I took you there so you can lead him, because I was going to take him. See, I was already, the time was already set for him to die, and I took you there so you can lead him, not just to salvation, but from hell to eternity with Jesus. Amen. So I say to you, is Tom powerful? It's a Morse code. You to speak in tongues. Listen, all the disciples, they ran from Jesus prior to speaking in tongues. Jesus could do no miracles until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Peter denied Jesus to his face until he got baptized with the Holy Spirit. After he got baptized, man, he was saying, okay, what's up? You know, crucify me upside down. Amen. You know, I'm saying to you, I'm hoping that today you got a good panoramic truth of speaking in tongues, and that from this moment on, don't take it for granted when you speak in tongues. Don't walk around, you know, like, okay, this is what we do as Pentecostals. You know, I look at people speaking in tongues. Do you know what you're saying, dude? Do you know what you're saying? Do you know? Listen, no matter what, you know, I don't try to criticize people, but if there's no, like an awe, like I'm talking to God himself right now, man. I'm really talking to God. God is doing something. God is saving somebody. God is strengthening me. God is saving my mom. God is stopping the devil from sabotaging his, you know, God's plans in our lives. When you speak in tongues, the devil cannot sabotage no plans. I'm telling you this, that God is about to take this region to another level. To another level. This is a year of acceleration. Let's all stand together. This is a year of acceleration, everybody. Amen. And the way that God is going to be able to do that, because everybody is going to have this nuclear spiritual warfare on your side. You're going to speak in tongues. All of a sudden, people are going to start, healings are going to take place. The prophetic is going to take place. Signs and wonders are going to take place. People are going to get blessed. People that are weak are going to be strengthened. And that's what I was praying, Pastor Charlie. I go, what could be my contribution to this Great Lake region? And God says, I want to strengthen them. I want them to muscle up. I want to get be strong. So, because there's a lot of work to be done still. And we can't do that with Christians. We can't move ahead if we're weak. We can't do battle if from a position of weakness. You need to be strong. And you can help us to reach other people as well. Amen. So they said, God wants to do something supernatural in your life. Something supernatural. Amen. Ever since then, my life's changed. These teachings, literally, like, in fact, I went to preach in San Diego. And they asked me to speak, and God led me to speak on this topic of tongues. Something supernatural happened with Pastor El's church that in me, and then with the people around there, that I began to say, there's got to be more. There's a lot more than what I know about the power of tongues. So I began to dig in a little bit more. That's where I'm able to get this information. I'm telling you that your life is about to go to another level. Your life is about... Dr. Cho from Korea, one of the largest churches in the world, before he preached a message, 1 hour in tongues. 1 hour in tongues. The fastest growing churches in the world are the churches, the Pentecostal churches with the evidence of speaking in tongues. The most forceful movement in the face of this world is the Pentecostal movement. Cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, destroy the powers of the enemy. Amen. So I want you to just come. Yeah, I'm not going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God gives it to you today, that's fine. Tomorrow we're going to do that. But those of you that you really pray in tongues and you baptize, I want you to put reset button inside of me, Lord, so I can look at the gift of speaking in tongues at another level. That I can look at. By the way, speaking in tongues is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not speaking in tongues. It's the evidence. There's power when you get this baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's one of the greatest weapons you have. Use it. Use it. So what we're going to do right now for a little bit, you know, I just want to open up the altars. And I want you to come and just let the Holy Spirit begin to speak through you. Who knows what God is going to do? Who knows what kind of miracle, what kind of healing, what kind of signs and wonders God's going to do in your life and through your life? Find a place. Find a place and begin to speak in tongues. Oh, rakasata rapapa kasanda. Lora papapa kasanda. Lora kasanda rapapa. Find a place. Find a place. Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, rakasata rababakashan.